morning. Our first song this morning will be number 480. 480.
Heard my despairing cry. Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we bow unto thee this morning on this first day of the week in admiration for the love that lifted us from the sin of the world. We was bound in sin, in bondage, and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, lifted us up. We are so grateful and so thankful for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Knowing, Father, that when we was all sinners, unworthy of his precious blood, he willingly obeyed your command and died on the cross for all of mankind. For this, Father, we are ever so grateful and so thankful. We thank you, Father, that we can give honor to whom honor is due. To remember him this morning, Father, as we take this communion that we will have before us, and that we'll never forget what he did for each and every one of us. And Father, we want to pray at this time for the many precious souls that are on our prayer list. We thank you, Father, that you are an all-knowing Father, and that you know the needs of each and every individual. To know, Father, that you can reach out when they are weak and weary, that you can give them strength. During the days of their life when they might be sad, Father, you can raise them up with joy and sprinkle their hearts with love. And Father, we want to thank you that we have the ears to hear the lesson that Brother Norman has prepared this morning. We thank you that you continue to give him the willpower to do your will, to teach, to preach those who are willing to hear your word, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Father, that we can communicate with you by way of prayer, and you made a way for each and every one of us to talk to you. When there is a need, we need someone to listen to our problems, our concerns. We want to pray, Father, for our country. We pray, Father, that in the future that all of mankind come together. Our world leaders will promote peace and tranquility so that one day, Father, we can learn to love each other, irregardless of our race, sex, or creed. Father, we pray that what we say and do here this morning will be pleasing unto thee. For it is in Jesus' name we praise you, give you honor and glory. Amen.
For the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? When you read in Isaiah chapter 53, you read of the account of the suffering servant. And even though this took place during the time of Isaiah, gave them a vivid description of the suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to have to endure. And when you read that, you have to truly appreciate the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on our behalf. Now, he didn't look at it the way that we might look at it, where you might question, why do I have to endure the humiliation? Why do I have to go through all this suffering? Why do I have to give up my life when I did nothing wrong? But as the song said, he did it because he loved this world so. And he was willing to die for the sins of this world. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to take up the Lord's Supper. We have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for first allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, giving us an opportunity to come together to this worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. Have this opportunity to gather around the Lord's table on this first day of the week. And we're so thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for loving this world so much that you would send unto us your only begotten Son. And we're so thankful for the love that thy Son Jesus had for each and every one of us, for being willing to give his life. Even though he was a man without sin, even though he had the power to save himself, to be willing to give his life, to die for our salvation. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread, that we do so in a manner that it be well-pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we're gathered here this day to remember the sacrifice of Christ, and as we're about to partake of this, the fruit of the vine, help us, dear Father, to take our minds back to the cross, to the suffering, the shedding of the blood, the sealing of the old love, the bringing in of the new, that we might remember that great sacrifice, that we might think upon it every day, not just on the Lord's Day when we gather here. Help us, dear Father, that we will keep Christ in our hearts and in our minds, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
Anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you'll raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And as we know, as you read in 2 Corinthians 9:7, the attitude that we should have, you know, to not sit and question why do I have to give back, but to be grateful for the opportunity to be able to give back. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give. Most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, so thankful for all that you do, for always being that guiding light in our lives, for your comfort during our times of sorrow, the joy that you provide for us, Heavenly Father, just giving us the will, the ability, just the talent that we need to go out in this world and to work and to be able to prosper, Heavenly Father, to be able to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give back a portion of the many blessings you have given us, we pray that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing, and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us mark number 880. 880 will be the sum of invitation this morning. And before the lesson, we'll stand and sing number 535. 535. We'll stand as we sing this song.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saved today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land. I'm in the glory land where.
scripture reading for this morning's sermon will come from the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's going to be Numbers 16, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peloth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and said, and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
Good morning. Truly God, once again, has been good to us. He spread our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. I'm just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day and your blessings. Once again, thank you for this opportunity to allow us to be able to come to this place at this particular time to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The last few weeks we have been looking at stories to help us to invoke a deeper level of thinking and to help us to see ourselves and our relationships with God. We looked at the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And we went to the Old Testament and we looked at the story of Balaam in Numbers 22. Then we come back to the New Testament. And we looked at the woman who was caught in adultery. And now we're going back to the Old Testament. And we're going to look at four men who had a jealous spirit. And so as we look at Numbers chapter 16, when you look at this particular text, we see how a spirit of jealousy can mess up a situation. But not only that, it can cause you to lose your soul. But we also see how we can overcome a spirit of jealousy. When you look at this text, there were four guys who became jealous of Moses and of Aaron. It was, one name was Korah. Korah was a Levite. Korah was the instigator of this conspiracy against Moses. He was a grandson of Kohath. But Kohath wasn't just the grandfather of Korah. But he was also the grandfather of Moses. So the man leading the conspiracy against Moses was his first cousin, Korah. Some of you may have cousins like that. And so the other three guys was Dathan, Abiram, and On. And they were from the tribe of Reuben. And Reuben was Levi's brother. And Reuben was the oldest of the 12 sons of Jacob. By law, Reuben's children would have been the leaders of the other tribes. But Reuben, you remember, he lost his place of being the firstborn in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And verse number 1. And the reason that he lost his place was because he had sex with his stepmother in Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 22. So Korah is upset because even though he is a Levite, he is not among the priests that God ordained, and he wanted to be a priest. Can you see how jealousy is beginning to take hold? And then we see not only that, but it has an effect on those around us. Because now the other guys are upset because they think their father still should have retained his position. And therefore they should be the leader of the people and not Moses and Aaron. And so instead of accepting the place God had given them, they decided to try to overthrow Aaron and Moses. Well, this is a good story. They got 250 other community leaders to go along with them to put Moses and Aaron in their place and make them step down as leaders of the people. Sound like something today, don't it? Now, if you know anything about biblical history, you know that God chose Moses to be the leader. He appointed Aaron to be his spokesman. Moses didn't ask for the job. Moses didn't want the job. Moses even turned down the job. But God told him to do it anyway. And because of his healthy fear of God, he did what God told him to do. And so now Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On tried to make their case from a religious sounding view. Now watch this. They brought forth a list of complaints, and they were acting as a mob, and they were determined to have their own way. Have you ever known people like this? They always put the boss down at work. They're always looking for the small imperfections in their company. on their job, but they never see the great benefits they enjoy. They insist that they just know what is best because they say so. And this is what we have right here. Korah's complaint to Moses was this. Look at verse 3 and 4. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you. In other words, Moses, you've gone too far. But not only that, notice what he said. Seeing all the congregations are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. In other words, everyone in Israel is chosen of the Lord, not just you, Moses and Aaron. God chose all his people, and all of God's people are holy. Then he says, then wherefore, then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. In other words, you have no right to be the leaders over us. Why then have you set yourself above everybody else? Do you see how envy and jealousy and a lack of fear of God can cause us to see things in a very distorted manner? To be jealous of someone is to be intolerant, is to be hostile toward a person who is perceived to be a threat, a rival of one's position or authority. A jealous spirit stem from feeling of overpossessiveness and holding too high an opinion of oneself. That's what's going on right here in the text. The jealous person feels like no one else can or should be able to do what they do. The jealous person feels that no one else has the right to do what they do. Instead of admiring the capabilities and competence and excellence and talents of another, the jealous person views their qualities as a challenge to who they are. Listen, church, when we have behaved jealously towards another's accomplishment, we are actually showing our inability to deal with the truth. And no one likes to think of himself and not measuring up to another. And I got to tell you, that's not wise. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 12, when we compare ourselves by other folk, that's not a wise thing to do. Because God has given all of us talent. All of us are unique. And so we see in reality of life that there always will be someone who is better at something than we are. But rather than accept that reality, the one who is controlled by a spirit of jealousy will feed his feelings of inadequacy through display of anger, resentment toward another. And this was Korah's attitude toward Moses and Aaron. But what did Moses do? What did Moses do? The first thing he did was he fell face down to the ground. Y'all see that in verse 4? He falls down in humility, in desperation, seeking God in the situation that he's in. Many painful mistakes could be avoided in our lives if we just learn to stop and just to pray. Have you ever had someone attack you, said something hurtful to you, just to, and then you let them have it, how might it have turned out if you had stopped and prayed first? Some of us have enemies that didn't have to become enemies. And Moses was certainly praying for guidance, but he was also praying for those people who opposed him. When the enemies of Jesus were nailing him to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When our enemies go on attack, we got to stop and pray for them. But then notice how he responds in verse number 5. Watch this. He spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he have chosen will he cause to come near him." Now watch this. Instead of defending himself, instead of making apologies for things he didn't do, instead of arguing and pointing out flaws in these attacking enemies, Moses appeals to God. "Korah, you and your 250 boys, you come here tomorrow. And when you come here tomorrow, you offer to offer incense to God. Let God decide who is holy and who is not." But did you notice something? Did you miss something here? And that is that at this point, you don't hear anything about On from this verse forward. See, On must have backed out of the conspiracy, because again, there is nothing said about him. There's a great lesson here for those who feel like they got to defend themselves against any criticism and any attack. Sometimes it's enough just to know you are right. Instead of trying to prove you are right to someone who says you are wrong. Y'all with me? Because in Psalm 7 and verse 8, "Let the Lord judge the people. Vindicate me." In other words, in Psalm 7 and verse 8, it said, "Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High God." That's how we take the high road with enemies, by turning the matter over to the Lord. And so Moses says to Korah in verse 8 and 9, he says, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seem it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them." In other words, with all that God has done for you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You and the other Levites, you have a privilege placed among all God's people, but you are not satisfied. You want to take over the priesthood itself. You have banded together, not against Aaron and the priests, but you have turned against the Lord. When we reject the assignment God has given us, we turn against the Lord. And so the question comes, what assignment do you have that you have intentionally neglect. So Moses, he sent for Dathan and Abiram in verse 12. But then Dathan and Abiram sent back word in verse 13 and 14. In other words, what they're saying here is that we don't have to listen to you. You made us leave Egypt with all of its milk and honey to die out here in the desert. You didn't bring us into the promised land that you told us that we were going to get. Now you think that you can lead us. We are not going anywhere with you, Moses. And Moses got angry. But I'm so glad he kept his cool. In verse number 15. Because watch this, the next day each of the 250 in Aaron were to offer bulls with incense in it before the Lord in verse 17. Everybody showed up at the tent meeting. The glory of God showed up. But watch this. God told Moses and Aaron to get away from the crowd because I'm about to wipe them out. Y'all see this? When you forget about God, when you think that you are doing things your own, let me tell you something, God will show you who's in charge. So he's given a warning first. He said, first of all, Moses and Aaron, you get away from the crowd. But then, that's in verse 20 and 21. And that's why you don't want to get on God's bad side. You want to stay on God's good side. And then watch what Moses and Aaron would do in verse 22. Moses and Aaron get on their knees and pray for God's mercy and for the lives of the people. God told Moses, I hear you, but watch this. You tell the people they need to get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Y'all see that? You get away, Moses and Aaron, but you go tell the people they need to get away from these three. Verse 24. Moses went to the tent to tell the people, God said for you all to get away from these tents. So all the people started backing away. Korah, Dathan, Abiram are surrounded by their families at the tent. Verse 27. They were not about to back down. See, jealousy and envy can blind you to what God has in store for you. God's trying to bless you, but you are blinded by envy and jealousy. So God said, listen, Moses and Aaron, get away. Tell the people to get away. But these three are surrounded by their family. Because they think that this is going to be a moment of victory. God is telling us today that if you are following the Korahs, the Dathans, the Abrahams, you had better get away. Because I'm about to do something to these three. And to those who are following them. So when you look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. I'm almost through, y'all. This story just... Look at verse 29. If these men die, the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent them. What is he saying? If they die a natural death and experience what usually happens to men, then know that the Lord did not send me. But if God does something totally new, like splitting open the ground and causing them to fall into the grave alive, then you know these men have treated the Lord with contempt. In King James Version, provoke the Lord. English Standard Version, despised the Lord. Have you ever treated God with contempt? I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what the Word of God has to say. Each time we do less than what God requires of us, we are treating God with contempt. But watch this. No sooner than Moses finished speaking, the words, the ground underneath of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their families, their possession split open. Verse 31. And they all fell into the earth alive and died. Verse 32 and 33. And all the people started running in all directions, saying that the earth is going to swallow us too. And in verse 34, even nature, that's in verse 34, and you need to understand that even nature is at God's command. And it only do what God allows it to do. What about the 250? I'm glad you asked. As for the 250 men who decided that they're going to stay beside these three, they were still at the tent meeting. They were offering incense to the Lord, and fire came out from the Lord, consumed all of them, and they became a soul smoldering remains. Verse 35. They thought they could reinvent God to adjust God to what they wanted him to be. What can we learn from this story? Three little simple things. This lesson is yours. The call to follow Christ is a challenge to quit trying to do everything your way so that you can discover God's true plan and God's purpose for your life. Lesson number two, jealousy can and will cause you to lose your soul. Thirdly, when God tells you to do something, you had better do it. You had better do what God tells you to do. See, a lot of time we play church. We don't take church and the Lord seriously. But one day you're gonna find out God means what he says. Because one day we're all going to stand before that great God of heaven. We're going to give an account of those things that we have done, whether good or whether bad. You can go around fooling folk all you want to, thinking you are so holy, but you'll never fool God. God knows. And God knows each and every one of you here this morning. But God is trying to give you an opportunity to make things right with him this morning. Tomorrow is not promised to any man. The rest of this day is not promised to any man. The only time that you have to get it right is right now. And if you leave this place unprepared to meet God, you have no one to blame but yourself. If you're here this morning, you've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. You're here in a Christian. You've not been living as a Christian should. Don't be like Korah, Dathan, Abiram, his family, and those 250 that God wiped out from the face of this earth because they was too proud to humble themselves. If you're subject to the invitation, don't put it off, but come right now. As we stand and sing the song of encouragement, won't you come?
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you. Oh.
pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to learn more about your word. We pray as we leave, you watch us, guide us, and keep us safe. We ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.